Up the book of Ephesians and look at the verse 18 through 24. Have you heard the term life coach? I remember the first time I heard that term, it was 20 or so years ago, and a guy that I knew that was in the ministry had decided that the Lord was calling him out of the ministry and into becoming a life coach. And if I'm being honest at the moment, I thought it sounded a little bit odd. I wasn't familiar with that term, wasn't familiar with what it was all about. I recently looked up a definition of it as I was preparing for this sermon, and of course I know more about it now, but the online definition, which of course is always 100% accurate, it said that it has to do with counseling someone on their career and or goals to help them achieve their desired goals. Now, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. We just used to call that a mentor when I was coming along, or maybe even sometimes a friend who was there for you, but somewhere somebody along the way figured out that people would pay people to be a life coach in their life and to help them and to push them in areas where they may not necessarily want to push themselves. You know, the more I thought about it through the years as a Christian and as a pastor, I realized that as a Christian who is a life coach, it could be a great opportunity to pour into someone's life. I mean, they can pour into someone principles for life that come straight from Scripture, and even point them to the greatest leader ever, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm grateful for those that I've had in my life who poured into me and to help me to discern God's leadership in my life and affirmed God's gifting in my life. And whether you had or have mentors or life coaches in your life, we all need someone to point us the right direction. We all need someone to come alongside us and to help us go where God would have us to go and do the things that God would have us to do. Not just say the things we want to hear, but say the things we need to hear. Paul was certainly one of those type of people. He was willing to speak words of correction, words of encouragement, and as we come to the close of this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul gives them some final words of encouragement and exhortation to coach them or to mentor them to be what God would have them to be and to focus on the things that God wanted them to focus on as followers of Christ. So I want to take a look at our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me so that you may be informed. I am sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is truth, not a truth, but is the truth. God, open our hearts and minds to hear from you today. Lord, I pray that right now I might decrease, that you might increase. Lord, may your truth be spoken here. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as a life coach, Paul wanted to encourage them, first of all, to pray faithfully. Now, probably the most underused tool in our bag as Christians is prayer. We have access to the power of God through prayer, and too many times we don't spend time with God in prayer. Paul tells us in verse 18 to pray at all times, and I'm pretty sure that means to pray at all times. I really studied the the language there, it's really tricky. No, not at all. It's pretty straightforward, right? Pray at all times. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing. The message is pretty clear that there's never a time when it's wrong for the believer to pray. It should also not go unnoticed that Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit. Now, Paul expands on this in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We don't always know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray and intercedes for us. Sometimes we're just at our wits' end. We can't even put words out that make sense. We can't even form what we want to say, but the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf and prays the things that we need to pray. And if we have any wisdom at all, it should be the desire of our heart that God's will would be accomplished in our lives. So when we pray, we need to pray and ask God to direct our hearts, to help us to be channeled toward what He would have us to do. The Holy Spirit intercedes to that end. And just to be clear, this is not Paul talking about some sort of prayer language or speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is allowing the Spirit to lead our prayers and even take over where we don't have enough sense to pray for the right things. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty good habit of praying for the wrong things. It's because I don't see the whole picture. But God does. God sees the things that we can't see. We can trust those things to Him, and we can allow Him to direct us, and the Holy Spirit intercedes in our prayers to help us get it right. Another area a lot of us struggle with when we pray is the second half of verse 18, where Paul tells us to stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for the saints. When we pray, we need to keep our eyes open to God's work around us so that we can be a part of what He's doing. If I pray and don't expect God to work or don't expect God to reveal Himself around me, I'm not watching and looking and will likely miss what it is that He's doing. Pray with an intentional willingness to hear from God and to see God work. However, when it doesn't happen immediately, don't give up. Keep praying. Pray with perseverance, praying for our brothers and sisters in the faith. We need to keep praying until they have an answer from God. We shouldn't quit until they have that yes or no, that clear direction from God. We shouldn't think that just because it doesn't happen in our timing that somehow God has moved on from it. More often than not, God's timing is very different from ours. As many of you know and understand, we've been walking through this process really over the most of last year, seeking God's direction and starting a Spanish mission. Now, we've been walking through this process, myself and Doug and Jeff and Billy Cook. We've met with Stacy Dyer and some folks from some other churches in our association, trying to figure out God's leadership in this and direction in this. When we started this process, we had a gentleman who worked with the George Baptist Mission Board at the time. Unfortunately, earlier last year, there was some layoffs that took place, and he was one of those who was laid off, so no longer working with the Mission Board. So that set us back a little bit. And then somewhere into the middle of last year, we thought we had identified someone who might be a good pastor or leader for this. And then with a little further investigation, we realized very quickly that wasn't the right man for the job. And then in our last meeting, which was in the first part of November, we met with a gentleman who's a bilingual pastor in Dalton at Salem Baptist Church. And he shared with us a concept we had not considered, something we hadn't thought of, and that's having a bilingual service. And his point in that was that when you have Spanish-speaking kids kids that come from Spanish-speaking families, I should be more specific. They do speak some Spanish, maybe very fluent in Spanish, but they also speak English fluently. They don't need a Spanish service, but their parents do. So we're praying about the idea of possibly having a bilingual service on Wednesday nights. One of the big pluses of that would be that we can all be together, and we can still have things for the kids, because one of the things that happens a lot of time in mission churches is that there's nothing for the kids, because they're just not far enough along, don't have the resources or the people to be able to do those kinds of things. So we're still praying about what God would have us to do, and we're trying not to get impatient. The worst thing in the world we could do is just run out and say, okay, we've got to start something, and miss God in the process. We get one chance to start it right, and we get one chance in this to be obedient in God's timing. So please pray for us in this process that we're obedient to God's timing and what He would have us to do. In the midst of this, we don't want to miss what He has for us, so we're praying for clarity in this. Paul gave a clear objective as a coach to young Christians or to any Christian. We are to pray faithfully and to persevere in prayer. We've been conditioned to short commercials, fast food, and microwave meals, but we shouldn't expect God to work on our timetable when a day is like 1,000 years to Him. His timing is different, but His timing is perfect, and we can trust it to Him. Pray faithfully and trust that God knows what He's doing, and He knows when to do it. So Paul coached us to pray faithfully, but secondly, as a life coach, Paul encouraged us to pray for boldness. Now look again at verses 19 and 20 in our text. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Now stop and consider the irony of that for just a second. The Apostle Paul, who is in prison for boldly preaching the gospel of God, is asking the church at Ephesus to pray for boldness for him. I may not be a rocket scientist, but I can learn something from that. If a man who is as bold as Paul was would ask for people to pray for boldness for him to share the gospel, then I think I ought to be able to get a little bit of a clue and realize I need to be praying for boldness, and I need to be praying for boldness for those who love Christ, that we'll be bold in sharing our faith, that we'll tell others about Christ. We've said that our goal in this year in 2023 is 24 baptisms this year. And if we're going to baptize 24, then we have to pray and ask God to give us the courage, to give us the boldness to share our faith. Boldness does not mean beating someone over the head with the gospel or somehow being a Bible bully. Boldness has to do with being willing to face the adversity and the ridicule that will come with standing for the truth. Boldness also means loving the unlovely and sometimes facing the heat from other believers that don't think we ought to be reaching those kind of people. We can't just hope this is going to happen. We have to do something different. We have to be intentional about reaching that goal. To that end, Wednesday, February the 15th, we're going to have a banquet. It is not a Valentine's banquet. I realize the day before is Valentine's. We're utilizing the fact that people think about love then, but what we're going to have is a love of God banquet. And we're going to have a time that's meant for everybody, and I want to encourage you to be praying now about inviting someone to come to that, because they're going to get a free meal. Free food, okay? Invite them to come and be a part of it. We're going to do that part upstairs, and then we're going to come down here. And I plan on having some special music for that night, and I've already got a guest speaker lined up for that night that many of you already know, who has an evangelistic heart, and that's Stacy Dyer, our own associational missionary. If you don't know Stacy, you want to be here on the 15th so you can hear Stacy. He's a great guy, loves the Lord, and he will share the gospel that night. So be in prayer for us as we do this. But it's sad to me to see when Christians say that they want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet they only want to limit it to people who look like them, who behave like them, rather than doing what God has called us to do. The gospel's for everybody. Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody, every background, every skin color. And we need to do all that we can to share the gospel with all those around us. And Jesus reminded us that it's not the sick, it's not the well who need a doctor, it's the sick who need a doctor. It's not us who are believers. We need Jesus, and we need to be in His presence, but the lost around us are desperate. Even though they don't realize it, they need to know Christ. They need healing from Him, and it means sometimes loving others who don't look like us and reaching out to others that wouldn't necessarily fit our mold. But here Paul was an ambassador in chains. Here he is, meaning he's in prison, and he was still concerned about lost people around him. And rather than bemoaning his situation, rather than going around kicking the can and saying, God, why? Why am I in prison? What in the world did I do wrong? I mean, here I am telling people, no, that wasn't Paul's modus operandi at all. His method of operation was to say, God, give me boldness. Now, can you imagine being a prison guard chained to Paul? I'm telling you, either you're going to get ticked or you're going to get saved. Because he's going to be in your ear the whole time you're chained to him. The whole time you're there, he's going to keep pumping the gospel into you. Now hear me, I'm not saying that Paul was obnoxious. I feel certain he did it in love, and I feel certain that he was compassionate in sharing with him. But we know that people came to faith in Christ that were literally chained to him because of the Praetorian Guard many in the Praetorian Guard and Caesar's household, as Paul said, came to faith in Christ, all because God stopped Paul long enough to put him in a prison cell and to encourage us with words like that. There are a number of issues that Christians have every reason to tell the truth about these days. We need to be bold like Paul was bold, but we need to realize that when we're being bold in the faith the way God would have us to be, the lost around us are going to say we're narrow-minded haters. Listen, abortion is wrong. It's murder, and we should stand where the Word of God stands on this subject. However, Jesus died and paid the price for sin, and just because someone has been through an abortion doesn't mean that somehow God stopped loving them. When you sin, God doesn't stop loving you. And all sin separates us from God. We need to realize that as followers of Christ. Some Christians make it look like that somehow God stops loving you when you do some sins that are so heinous in our own way of thinking. But all sin made it necessary for Christ to go to the cross. And God loves us in spite of our sin. Sexual sins, whether premarital sex, same-gender sex, gender dysphoria, or whatever in this realm, there are certainly sins, but that doesn't mean that the people involved in those things are no longer loved by God or somehow ineligible for His grace. We must boldly love them while not condoning sin, while boldly pointing them to the truth that Jesus gave everything for them. Because of His love for them, your identity is in Christ. It's not in who you date. It's not how the world tells you you're supposed to be. It's not how the world tells you you're supposed to identify. Love for God will compel us to love others, and praying for boldness will compel us to tell them of God's unconditional love for them, and is something that we should be praying for, and praying for ourselves and for one another. Sometimes people refer to those who are clearly and willingly and intentionally flaunting perverse lifestyles and say they're bold. They may even use a term like they're a rebel. Well, I would argue with you to say that if you're flaunting those lifestyles that are now celebrated and accepted even within the church, that's not really bold or being a rebel. You want to be bold, you want to be a rebel today, then take a stand for the truth of God's Word. That's countercultural. That's living opposite of what the world says. We need to be willing to go into the fields of humanity and tell them about the one that can fill that empty void in their lives that they've been trying to fill with all the wrong stuff that never satisfies them. Jesus looked out over humanity and said, "The fields are ripened to harvest." But we need to be like Isaiah when God said, "Who will go for us?" And say, "Here am I, send me." So Paul coaches us to pray faithfully and to pray for boldness. Finally, Paul, as a life coach, encourages us to pour into others. Now look again at verses 21 and 22 in our text. "For this I am an ambassador in chains." Ephesians 6, 21. "For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Tychicus, our dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me so that you may be informed." Now you say, how is Paul pouring into others? Well, the first thing Paul did in that text was he built up Tychicus. He said, "The dearly loved brother and faithful servant in the Lord." Imagine the Apostle Paul writing about you and saying, "Dearly beloved and faithful in the Lord." The Apostle Paul. Those were words of encouragement to Tychicus. To have someone of his stature compliment you in that way, that was a blessing to Tychicus. How could it not be? Paul, the Apostle Paul, is speaking of the love that he has for Tychicus and the respect that he has for his service to the Lord. That had to build up and encourage Tychicus for so many years to come. I still remember way back when I was a freshman in college, just after electricity was invented. And I remember standing in a kind of a courtyard area on the campus at University of South Carolina at Aiken at the time, where they had their student housing, which was pretty nice apartments fairly new apartments at that time, so, you know, they're stone huts. But anyway, but seriously, we were standing out there talking, and I was talking to a guy who was a senior on the golf team, and here I was, a freshman on the golf team, and we were just standing out there talking, and some of his friends came walking up and started talking to us, and I didn't know any of them, and he introduces me to them, and I remember to this day when he introduced me to them, he said, "He's cool." Now, that wasn't life-changing, okay? Can I just be clear? That was not life-changing. But I still remember it to this day because that was his endorsement. That was him saying to his friends, "He's all right. Y'all can hang out with him. He's all right." Folks, we need to pour into others, and that's what Paul was doing right here. He was saying about Tychicus, "Man, he's a faithful servant of God. I love this guy. I want y'all to care about him because I care about him because I see in him, his faith." That was an important task that Paul was entrusting to him. So Paul not only encourages him, he's letting Tychicus go and be his mouthpiece. He's letting him go and speak in his behalf. He's entrusting him to represent him well. His words would, in effect, be the words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Paul had every confidence that he could deliver this important message to the people of Ephesus. I'm grateful, as pastor of this church, to have an associate pastor like Jeff that I know that I can entrust this pulpit to when I leave. If I'm not here, I'm comfortable, confident, and certain of the fact that he can stand in this pulpit and he'll faithfully handle God's word. I know from observation he is a godly husband, a godly man, a godly father who loves his family and loves God. He ain't perfect. Good news is I'm not either. None of us are. But the reality is, I know that if I ask him to preach, that he's going to do his best to handle God's word the way that God would want his word handled. If you haven't heard him preach before, he preaches on Sunday nights, generally speaking, the third and fourth Sunday of the month, unless we have something else going on. And then if there's a fifth Sunday, I make him do that one too. But anyway, if you haven't heard him, I would encourage you to come out. We've been walking through the book of Acts on Sunday night. He'll be preaching in 2 weeks on the 15th. I think we're at about Acts 16 now. But I can entrust this pulpit to Jeff because I've observed his walk with God. Paul knew that he could entrust this message with Tychicus because he'd observed his walk with God. He knew what a faithful man was. Tychicus would faithfully tell the people of Ephesus about Paul's situation and his words of exhortation for them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that God had placed upon their lives. Paul coached others to pray faithfully, to pray for boldness, and to pour into others. Paul concludes this letter with these final words: "Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, it is always right to pray for peace in the lives of our brothers and sisters in the faith. I feel fairly safe in saying there are very few here this morning that wouldn't honestly admit, you know what, I could use a little extra peace right now. We live in a chaotic world. There's craziness all around us. Folks, more than likely, there are people in this sanctuary right now who, if you could see what's going on in their life, with all that's going on around them, that it's just utter chaos. The wind and the waves are just causing them to drown. There are too many people right now around us who are battling depression, who are dealing with all the garbage that this life brings in. So when we pray for peace for our brothers and sisters, we're trying to lift them up out of those waters. We're trying to lift them up by the power of God to help them have the strength they need. You see, God promises us in His Word a peace that passes all understanding. The peace we can have because of Christ in us doesn't make sense to the world, and we can learn from the Apostle Paul to do everything that we possibly can to build up others, to encourage others. As a new year has begun, ask God to help you pour into others, to encourage others in the faith. Ask Him to help you see the lost around you, to pray for them, and to be willing to tell them about Jesus. As God provides opportunities in your life, write down at least two names to be praying for this year. Put them somewhere where you'll see them, where you'll be reminded, and pray for them. Pray that God would do a work in their life, and pray that God would give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them this year. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let this year begin right. You see, here's the reality. If you've never placed your faith in Christ as your Savior, if He were to return today or your life would be required of you today, you wouldn't spend your eternity in heaven. I don't say that to be mean to you. I say that because I love you. Because I don't want you to spend your eternity in hell. I don't want you to spend your eternity in a lake of fire. And Peter reminds us that it's God's desire, it's God's will that none would perish, that all would come to faith, that all would spend their eternity in heaven. But you see, here's the thing about God. He won't make you go to heaven. You know, some people wrongly ask the question, why, how in the world could a good God send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go to hell. Well, what if I've not made a choice? If you've not made a choice, then you've chosen, you've rejected God. You can change that while you still have a breath in your body. You can ask His forgiveness and place your faith in Him. Don't leave this place today without placing your faith in Christ if you haven't settled that. What a great way to start off a new year. Christian, whatever burdens or concerns you have today, I promise you, He's big enough to handle it. You can trust it to Him today. Let Him do that work in your life right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for amazing grace. We thank You for this time just to be able to come into Your house and to study Your Word once again. But God, I pray for anyone here that doesn't know You, that hasn't trusted You as Savior. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that right now they'd ask Your forgiveness and trust in You. Lord, whatever burdens or concerns we as Christians may have, I pray that we would begin this new year right by setting those things at Your feet and trusting them to You. Lord, for others that You may be leading here to become a part of this body of believers, to serve You through this church, then God, I pray they'd have the courage to do that today. But whatever You want to do during this time, we give this time to You. It's in Your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.